Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We brought you damn good beer, and now we're delivering to you damn good beef. Hassle Cattle Company is the absolute best source for farm-to-table Wagyu beef in the country. Hassle Cattle Company is a fourth-generation cattle farm out of Texas. They ship all over the beautiful USA and straight to your door. They call their beef the blue-collar Wagyu. Why? Because it's the best damn Wagyu that every man or woman can afford. Hassle Cattle Company offers Wagyu smoked sausage, New York strip, beef bacon, Wagyu Frank, two jerky flavors, original and sweet and spicy, and their hamburger even won the Food Network's Northeast Burger Jam. Not only do we love their beef, the country loves their beef. Everybody wants to get in on this. These guys take their registered bulls and breed them with Angus cows, giving you that very high prime product that is grown with zero antibiotics or hormones. So head to HassleCattleCompany.com, that's H-A-S-S-E-L-L CattleCompany.com, and use promo code DNVR10 for 10% off your order, plus any orders over $200 get you free shipping. Again, use code DNVR10, check them out today, and we promise you will not be disappointed. DNVR Avalanche Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by AJ as always. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boost. On today's Friday show, we're having a little bit of fun looking back at some of our favorite prospects over the years, the ones that we've gotten right, the ones that we've gotten wrong. Should be an interesting little show diving into things on that front. So AJ, you've been doing this a little bit longer than I have, certainly on the draft front of things. So I know you got some going back even before the last decade that are going to be a little bit before my time following the draft. So
I don't have too many.
Not too many old school ones.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I mean, old school, going all the way back to
old school. Yeah. 2009.
Yeah, well, I mean, following the NHL draft was hard to do, even in 2009.
Beyond the first round, it was really hard. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like WJCs, and if you knew a guy from there, then you really liked him. And if you didn't, then good luck, you know?
That was about it.
Yeah, well, it was, like, I remember There were some guys that the Avs drafted where it was just like,
nope.
Okay.
That's a dude. Allegedly a human.
Yep. And it was just hard to know. There weren't very many people covering it. There weren't very many like national outlets. You know, now you look at it and The Athletic has multiple people doing it. Yep. There are podcasts. Chris Peters does his own thing. ESPN has a thing. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
people like Scouch, who are, their content is pretty much solely dedicated to the NHL draft.
Yeah, it's, and that just did not, that did not exist. Not even that long ago, you know, when I was at Mile High Hockey, when the Avs were bad and they were picking in the top five, it was like, we spent a lot of time arguing over guys that we couldn't really watch very much of because we didn't have access to seeing them.
DHL streaming just didn't exist yet.
Yeah, because straight up, like, we were talking about Gabe Landeskog, and it was like, well, can't really see him play very often, so.
Yeah, Scott, you know, that's how it worked back then. You'd have to send a message to the team asking for footage of a dude to be able to get access to him.
Yeah, League Prospects wasn't around. You know, hockey DB wasn't really a big thing yet.
Yep.
It was crazy, man. So it was really hard to fall in love with guys back in the day where you just couldn't
watch,
you couldn't see them. And now, like, every time that we get into the draft, it's like, you know, we talk about people roll in and are like, oh, you guys should take a look at this guy. And all right, this guy's ranked 156th, you know, and it's like, okay.
One YouTube search will give you everything you need on the guy, basically.
Straight. That's the other thing that is that fans just started clipping together players.
Yep.
And all of their, you know, and like shift by shift stuff and highlights.
Yep.
You know, you type in, you go and you look for Sean Behrens, a guy that was drafted at the end of the second round. And Sean Behrens, and it's like, bam, you get shift by shift. You get a full scouting report. Yep. You get specific breakdowns. You get some random musician. You get our stuff. it's really impressive how coverage of the draft has changed and the enthusiasm of the draft has changed. And yes, I did see Canadian women's team just throttled the United States last night. It was a pretty thorough beatdown of Bald Eagles and Freedom. So
the bet did not go well.
Yeah. Way to go, you filthy fascists.
Yeah. I mean, right.
What,
I mean,
what do you mean? We already have Bedard and Michkov.
Yeah.
But the fact that you even know who they are.
That's what I'm saying.
Years out from their draft class tells you everything you need to know.
These days, you have like, all right, here's some footage of their like mites league. Here's some footage of him in his backyard when he was 8 years old.
We've seen, I mean, there is, you can go and you can get extensive footage on both Connor Bedard and Matvei Michkov now. And they're 2 years away from being drafted.
Yeah.
So
the modern ability to do that really is incredible.
Yeah. So is that, so is that class though. if you actually listen, Brian Burke has talked extensively. If you go and search through YouTube,
his story is super cool about them digitizing everything. I really like that.
Yeah. Story. The $8,000 laptops that they bought their scouts.
Yeah.
And how they did get video. They've been using video since the 90s, but not everybody was.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's wild.
Yeah.
That it's come as far as it has, but I will also tell you that I got a peek into the scouting database that NHL teams use once upon a time, and it's still, that thing needs an update.
Yeah.
That thing needs an update. It looked like something that straight up reminded me of AOL back when I was first learning to use the internet in 1996. Oof. It was like, I was like, oh my God. This is intense. So, anyway.
In any case, yeah, let's... So do we want to go chronological here, AJ? Do we want to start with your OG prospect loves?
Yeah, we can do that. I know because people always, because we spend so much time talking about prospects and stuff that there are people that always want to know, like, who were you guys right and wrong about? And it's like, man, both of those lists are
long lists. Yeah. There's a lot of guys.
I think it would be good if we focused mostly on just the ones like that we either felt the strongest about. Sure. And like I try not to have too many like high picks in here.
Sure.
Because it's like, you know, it's like, oh wow, you were right about a top three pick. Well, I mean, bully for you, guy.
It's easy to put the high picks in when you're wrong about them.
Yeah, that's true. I do have, like, I have Neil Yakupov on my list, so. I loved him. I thought he was going to be awesome, and then.
He just never figured it out at the NHL
level. Yeah. Yep. So, somebody has seen the thumbnail for today's show.
Yeah. Glennie was an interesting one, actually. He's one of those stories where. After he got drafted, he just never really had the love for the game that you kind of need.
There are some guys.
Yeah.
That they just don't really want to be hockey players, and it's just a way for them to make money. And
yep.
It's just, it's something that they've just always done that they've been good at. And if they weren't doing that, then they don't know where they'd be. So they just kind of keep at it. But. True. There are some guys that the Avs have drafted in the last few years that have been like that. They just don't love the game in that way.
Yep.
They were happy to be drafted and they're happy to play pro hockey and
you know. Got Kale in the chat here, but let's not waste any more time, AJ. Where does your list start?
I think the first guy that I was really like right about that I really, really, really liked, and to be fair, again, because we could not see these guys until, you know, some of these guys for a long time, you know, some of them you couldn't see at all before they got drafted, but I liked Tarasenko immediately.
All right.
He got drafted in 2010, and when he came over, that was a guy that I was immediately like, yep, that he's going to be, it was like, he is going to be a monster. Cause he came over at the end of, I don't remember which year it was, but he came over at the end of the KHL team finished up. And then he came over like mid season and he was just so good, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you may sense a theme here, at least for me. I'm not sure about AJ, but show me a guy who can shoot a puck, and it's easy to fall in love real quick.
Yeah, it was really, though, that, and it's funny because it's the archetype that scares me the most in the draft, but the big wing that scores goals is, like, my favorite NHL player.
Yep.
I just love... that type of player.
The only thing that is second to that to me is the big guy who passes well, like the Joe Thornton type.
Oh yeah,
that's my favorite type of player ever.
Yeah, my favorite type is the smooth skating, the really good skating defensive defenseman. I love that guy.
Well, yeah, that the. Really worked out for Duncan Siemens.
Yeah. It's funny. It's funny because I'm like, oh, you have to have guys with puck skills, you know, but it goes against all of like the traditional things that I love about the game.
Puck is secondary. Must skate.
For me, it always starts with skating. I love skaters, but the way that Tarasenko showed up, I was just like, oh my god, this guy is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then he rattled off, what, like 4 or 5 years in a row of scoring 30-plus goals? Like, he was, oh my goodness.
Yep.
He could just shoot it. There is a, we'll call it draft lore.
Veracity of it is unconfirmed.
I've never been able to actually pin anybody down on it, but there is a story that the Avs were planning to take Tarasenko, and when St. Louis traded up into the spot ahead of them, that's where they ended up with Joey Hischin as the next guy on their board.
I've never been able to
actually like get anyone who was in the organization at the time to say that's what we wanted, but
there's been things floating around over the years.
We'll say it's been in the water supply for a long time. I just can't say that definitely happened.
David Brunbed for the 16th overall pick, which was Tank.
That's what happened. They traded David Rundblad, who at the time was a top defensive prospect because he was a first round pick the year before. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like David Rundblad was a nobody at that point. You know, he would go on to become a bust in his own right, but it's how it goes sometimes.
Unfortunately, That's part of the thing, but all right. So Tarasenko was your first home run, I guess.
Yeah.
In the draft. Then we can move on. We can do one more pick here real quick in period one here if you have another one from the
My first big bust. I absolutely loved this dude, and I would have straight up fought somebody at the Westminster Promenade. in order to defend my love for Stefan Elliott. I was so convinced he was, and this is twofold, because I was so convinced that Elliott was going to work out and Tyson Barrie wasn't, because Tyson Barrie couldn't play a lick of defense. And I just thought there's no way this guy will be good enough offensively for NHL teams to give him a chance, because he cannot play defense. He is awful defensively. Even during camps, you could see that this dude just did not. He couldn't hold up in the corners. He just was not. It was so painful. I was like, oh my god, dude, this little itty bitty fella here is not going to get along. And here he is, however many years later, and what do I know, right? I mean, he's the
exact opposite of that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's almost 400 points into his NHL career. So
still can't play defense, but
still a one-way player, but teams are comfortable with the warts because he just produces so much offense that it's like, well,
yep.
Okay, fair enough. I just had that. I was still in that old school mentality, man. I hadn't changed my mind on things yet. I thought that guys who were that small couldn't play in the league, and especially defensively, that they just didn't belong. He couldn't make it happen.
All right.
And here he is. He's played 600 games.
Well, there you go. You can use that info. Maybe head on over to DraftKings Sportsbook and use your same game parlays to bet on Barrie to score a point, but his team to still lose, perhaps. It's a good way to do it. You can also get a bunch of amazing other odds boosts, so check out the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Be sure to use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account. If you do that this week, they're still offering the opportunity to bet $1 on any week one football game, and you get given $200 immediately. You don't have to win the bet. You don't have to wait for the bet to happen. They just give you $200 for making the bet in the first place. So jump on that, take advantage of the limited time offer, and get yourself $200 to bet on whatever you want over at DraftKings. Use their daily odds boosts, or don't if you want to bet on something crazy that they're not boosting. You got a good feeling about, you have $200 to play with. Download that top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and be sure to use the DNVR code when you sign up. That is how you get the chance for $200 in free bets immediately after that week one bet of $1 on a football game. Official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 and hit up Strava Craft Coffee as well, the CBD infused coffee that has really changed lives. You can get it online and get 25% off when you use code DNBR25 for your first order. You can also try it down at the bar or get 20% off indefinitely for every order when you sign up for their subscription service. Check them out. It's really helped with aches and pains, joint pains, migraines, stuff like that. And it'll get the coffee you need to get yourself going up in the morning, things like that. So do that. Then sign up for a DNVR annual membership as well. Right now, you get a bunch of amazing stuff. I don't think it's officially dropped yet, but I had the chance to see some of our upcoming merch. It's pretty cool. Not going to lie to you. Looking forward to some of the new stuff that's about to drop pretty soon here from us. So be sure to check all of that out. When you do get an annual membership, you also get a DNVR shirt along with it. So you can pick up one of those dope shirts. A bunch of other cool stuff as well. Big beers at the bar, access to all of our content, access to the DNVR lounge, and many other things too. So support us and get an annual membership and check us out. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. All right. So is that it for your older school ones? Are we going a little bit more modern up into my time covering the draft now? Or where do you want to go with this, AJ?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I've got two other guys on my list from a couple of years ago You know, I mentioned Nail Yakupov. I loved him his draft year. I thought he was going to be special. Thought he was going to roll in and be a 35 goal scorer every single year.
Wasn't meant to be. Maybe he could be if he wasn't still being chased by that cloud of bees.
But yeah, I don't know. I loved you, man. I thought he had it. Thought he was going to be a superstar. And I don't know. He was just such a dynamic goal scorer. He's so unstoppable in the CHL.
Boston got DeBrusk right, I think is fair to say. Zboril and Sinisian, yeah, those are big misses for them. But you remember they got those three picks because they were trying to package them to move up.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of were left in a weird spot where they just
Then they pretty much boofed, even with DeBrusk. I mean, they boofed three picks in an all-time great draft in a row. Like, that's so stupid.
Not great. Hello, Australia. Be sure to eat some pancakes for AJ early in the morning.
Definitely do that. I don't know why I'm so tired. I woke up from a nap right before we went live, but I'm still just dragging ass right now.
The Yakupov just puts you to sleep, I guess. I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, the other guy that I'm kind of right about, John Gibson. I love John Gibson.
Yep. All right.
His international performances, I was like, oh my God. John Gibson's going to be amazing. And then kind of was. And then he wasn't anymore.
The Bruins? Were they ever really a dynasty?
No, I wouldn't. No. All right, being good every year, so the Sharks are a dynasty. I mean,
yeah, you got to win for it to be a dynasty. In any case, yeah, I really didn't start following it that closely and probably until about 2014.
Which was a bad draft year. I actually didn't follow 14 very closely because the Avs were good and I was just excited to not follow it.
Yeah, sure. And like, obviously, previously I'd followed the top of the first round and stuff with the Avs getting like Duchene and Landeskog, but none of that stuff is anything particularly crazy.
Yeah.
And then McKinnon, obviously, as well. But the one guy that I was right about-ish in the 2014 draft was Alex Tuch, who I still love today. But you gotta give me some credit on that one, AJ. Come on. The pick after him was Tony DeAngelo, so they could have done quite a bit worse. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Of course, then they gave him away in the expansion draft as far as Minnesota's concerned, but which I suspect over the next couple of years, this won't be the last you heard of us liking players that ended up in Minnesota, because I know every time AJ likes a prospect, it goes to Minnesota. But
it's been pretty frustrating the last few years. They didn't need a scouting director. They just had to listen to our goddamn podcast.
So that one, that was probably when I first started watching, which also would bring us to our titular player at the end of the first round in 2014 and Josh Hosang.
Yeah.
Things never quite worked out for him, did they?
I loved Josh Hosang, and I loved that when Garth Snow drafted him, he went on television and said, yeah, well, everybody shits on me all the time, too, so we're going to get along great.
How'd that work out, though?
Not great for either guy. So yeah. Josh Hosang still battling some maturity issues, and Garth Snow, I don't even know what he's up to any these days.
Yeah, me either. I don't know what he's doing now, but, you know. We'll see. We'll see how the rest of all of these guys' careers play out, basically, from 2014 on. Most of these dudes are still in the game, but...
Yeah. 2015 was the first year that I covered the draft for BSN Denver, and that's the first time that I ever took the draft, like, super seriously. That was when we started our 100 prospects... and we're doing deep dives on things. And I felt bad that year because I was like, oh my God, I love way too many of these prospects. I loved like
just a really good draft.
Right. From 2015's first round alone, guys that I really, really, really liked were Mitch Marner, Zach Werenski, Matt Barzal, Kyle Connor, Thomas Chabot, Colin White, Brock Besser, and Jack Roslovic. That's like half a first round, man. Like, oh, okay. The guys that I liked from that first round that have not turned into much, I really, really liked Evgeny Svechnikov. And then...
Svechnikov on that one.
Yeah, I really liked Gabriel Carlson. The one who went to Columbus, who the Avs said... was not good enough to be the centerpiece of the Duchene deal. Good call from them.
True, definitely true. Yeah.
Yeah. And then from that second round, I really liked Eric Chernak and I really liked Jansen Harkins. I really didn't like Jordan Greenway. I really, really didn't like Jordan Greenway at all.
Yep. Yeah. That, I think both of us have said before that, like, we didn't hate him or anything, but neither of us were, like, extremely high on Mikko either in that draft.
It's funny. Cole Hamilton was writing for us, and he was the Mikko one.
Yeah.
He was the one pounding the table for Mikko or Timo Meier. I was lukewarm on both guys.
Yeah.
Because that was when I had started to develop my fear of – big players who didn't play power games. because I felt like those guys were consistently getting overdrafted simply because they were big players. And I kind of put my blinders on. And did not appreciate what they did well because they were both big dudes. So, sure. Did I foresee, or I never saw Ryan. I never foresaw Ryan O'Reilly scoring 70 points in a season.
Yep.
No. O'Reilly's complicated because I love the player that he is, but I also think that he is overrated. Like he plays next to the best wings that they have to offer. And so I think some of his offense is just a product of that. But he's also not like Chandler Stephenson, where it's like this guy's clearly in over his head. I didn't think O'Reilly's skating was ever going to be good enough for him to be as good as he is in the league, but he's put in so much work at it that he's just – I mean, he was always a good defensive center. He made the NHL as an 18-year-old as a second-round pick. There have only been two guys in the last 20 years who have made the NHL immediately as second-round picks, Patrice Bergeron and Ryan O'Reilly. What do they have in common? They're good defensive centers. They were good from day one. So, and the Avs were just bad enough in 2010 that they were like, fuck it, let's keep him. Shouldn't have done that.
Let's see. In 2015, the one guy that I really liked that worked out was Konechny.
I liked him. That was also, do you remember, that was also the Oliver Shillington year.
Yep.
Where he started out as a top 10 prospect and then just plummeted.
Yep.
I will say also from 2015, there were two guys that I loved Pia Suter, mm-hmm. who was a second time entrant in 2015.
Yep.
His original draft year was 14. He didn't get drafted. He didn't get drafted in 15 either. And I wrote a whole thing that's still up on our website, that's still up on DNVR now, about Pia Suter and how he should get drafted and how I think he would make a really good two-way player in the league. It's only been 1 year, but it felt a little vindicating to see the year that he had last season in Chicago. And the guy that I was super wrong about was Mangiapane, who I wrote a pretty not great review of, where I just said he was too small and not feisty enough, and he was too soft, and he was never going to be able to play the way that he did in the OHL, and I didn't think that he was going to be able to ever translate into a depth role. Whoops.
Can't win them all. I really like Noah Juulsen. Obviously, that has not worked out very well. Yeah. And then for the Avs pick, I really liked Milosh back then, too.
I did, too.
But obviously, that one didn't come together all that much.
Yeah. You know, 16 is funny because it's just not a great first round.
Yep.
And
out of the top two, basically.
Three guys in that first round that I was absolutely hard out on. I had no interest in. I said no, under any circumstances. The answer is no. It was Jake Bean, Henrik Borgstrom, and Riley Tufte.
Hmm. Well, I mean, Jake Bean's trying to make a career for himself now, but
yeah,
Borgstrom and has been around a little bit, I guess, and then Tufte, yeah, hasn't shown anything really. Basically,
Borgstrom, I had to be quieter about because of the DU thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, he was a point per game player in both years at DU. He was awesome at DU, and I just didn't see it translating to the NHL. It always felt like he was too much of a perimeter player. I didn't think he had a very high hockey IQ. I didn't think he had just externally, it didn't look like he had a drive to be great. It looked like he coasted through a lot of games to me. So I was very I was very out on him.
That's how I felt about Gautier, but I also loved Logan Brown in that draft.
Oh yeah, the guy that the Clayton Keller, I was desperate for Clayton Keller to get to 10. When he went 7 to Arizona, it broke my heart. We were having a draft party at Blake Street Tavern, and I was just so mad about it. And then when the Avs took Jost, I was double mad because I had pre-written draft pieces for everybody except Tyson Jost. And so I was so pissed off about it. What's the best draft year in the past 25 years? 2003.
Yeah, that draft is actually bonkers.
Yeah, 2003, and then I would say 2015 is already there.
Yeah, it's
there's like 10 franchise players in 2015.
But like, go look at 2003.
Yeah, Fleury,
Eric Staal, Thomas Banik, Ryan Suter, Braden Coburn, Dion Phaneuf, Jeff Carter, Dustin Brown, Brent Seabrook, Zach Parise, Ryan Getzlaf, Brent Burns. The first round alone is just Corey Perry at the end of it. It's just insane.
Yeah. There were even some of the guys who ended up being busts from that draft.
Yep.
Relative to draft position.
Yeah.
You know, ended up being like really good depth players for a long time. Guys like Eric Fair and Mark Stewart and Patrick Eaves. I mean, Brian Boyle was a first-round pick, and he made his whole career out of being a fourth-line guy.
All these dudes were regular NHLers.
Yeah. I mean, Braden Coburn, another one. Like, Thomas Vanek, we kind of gloss over, but it's like...
Even Nathan Horton went third overall, and obviously, like, his career ended with the injury troubles, but when he was in the league, he was legit.
Yeah. He was a good player. I mean, I don't think he ever quite justified the draft position. But I mean, that was a guy who was good for 20 goals every single year, and were it not for the back injuries, he was still plenty productive at the end of his career. Hey, yep. he was a good player.
Yeah, you even get into the second round and you have guys like Louis Erickson, Patrice Bergeron, Shea Weber. That draft is just insane. David Backes. Yeah. 2003 was nuts.
Yeah, I mean, Corey Crawford comes from the middle of that draft, that second round of that draft, and won multiple Stanley Cups. Oh, okay.
Yep.
You go all the way down to the seventh round, and you have
Joe Pavelski just hanging out in the seventh round.
You have, hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys from that seventh round that played 400 games.
It's nuts.
Including David Jones. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the ninth round.
Yeah, that's even later. That's the ninth round.
Yeah, the second to last pick was Brian Elliott. Like, Brian Elliott and Yaro Halak came from the ninth round of that draft.
Yep. That draft was actually just nuts. So.
The eighth round produced Dustin Byfuglien and Toby Enstrom.
Yep.
Like, that was like Winnipeg's top pairing when they moved from Atlanta. Yeah, I would say 03. I'm not a draft expert. I'm not a draft history expert. I just don't really know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
But I would say 03 is absolutely in the running for best ever.
When you're scouting NHL prospects, you got to make a list, right? And you have to have a cut line where eventually you cut it off. You can't draft anyone beyond the cut line. And sometimes you need a cut line for your balls, too. You can't have the hair go past a certain point.
It's true.
So, Manscaped has you covered. Make sure you get your cut line set with the Perfect Package 4.0. Use the lawnmower trimmer to get it down to... Scout what you need, all right? When people are scouting your junk, you need to make sure it shows well, all right? So, they got you covered. Use the deodorant. Use the toner. Use all of their products. They have stuff for above the belt as well. Breath mints, other stuff. Check it out. make sure to use all of that to get yourself looking good, feeling good, playing good. That's what they say, right? So jump on it. Check out Manscaped. Get 20% off with code DNVR20 and free shipping if you use Get the Perfect Package 4.0. And then head on over to Infinity Park in Glendale. You can check out the Colorado Exos and all of the other rugby stuff going on. They do a bunch of awesome stuff there. If you like rugby, check it out. They're literally where the men's and women's teams practice for the national stuff. So it's the actual best rugby in the entire country that you can find. But they're also doing a bunch of other events as well, including things like movie nights. You can check it out at infinityparkatglendale.com/events to get updated for all of those things. Of course, support us. Be sure to download the DNVR Rugby Podcast and stay up to date with Colton Strickler, our guy on that beat, doing all things rugby here in Colorado. So hit them up. Check out the Colorado Exos. Infinity Park is an awesome venue to go to. It's a great time for a family day out, stuff like that. So check them out today. And then, of course, hit up Green Mountain Dental Group. They will take care of your teeth for you. Make sure you're looking clean. They're a great family dentist just 15 minutes from downtown over in Lakewood. You can go there and get a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, and they'll give you a free Sonicare toothbrush, electric toothbrush to make brushing your teeth even easier than it already is, so your teeth are nice and clean. We've had tons of people switch, and they all say it's a great dentist to go to. They really do take care of you. So check them out if you need your teeth cleaned. All right, third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by that DraftKings Sportsbook. We may have to go a little bit rapid fire here as we get into some more recent years of the draft. AJ's got to go dunk some people on trivia on TDSP after this. So
I'm not going to do well. Watch. It's just going to be – I'm barely awake right
You've
now.
You've been hyped up, and so you're going to struggle. That's how it goes.
Yeah, it's exactly it.
But over the last handful of years, AJ, you got some hits and misses for me?
Yeah. You know, a guy that I thought was going to be a lot better, or Casey Mittelstadt.
Really? I hated Mittelstadt in his
draft. I had concerns because I was worried he didn't take it seriously. Because you remember he wanted to stay and play in high school that year, his draft year. He played with the Gamblers, and then he went and played. I liked Cooper in his draft year. I thought he was interesting.
He went back to Eden Prairie, right?
Yeah, and he wanted to play high school with his friends, and
yep.
You know.
My concern with Mittelstadt back then is the same concern I had this year with Bujalski. The dude he's a one-trick pony. He did one thing every single time, and at that level, it just worked.
Well, and I mean, he was point per game in USHL. He was just below point per game his one college season.
Yeah, and he played great. It was just,
you know,
no complexity to his game at all.
His
did the thing.
Brief AHL time, he's been very productive. It's just like, I don't know. I just expected a little bit more of him. He was one of the guys that kind of taught me to look out for the guys that play small games.
Yep.
You know, because he wasn't a particularly small guy, but he didn't have a lot of natural strength. He did not engage physically really at all.
Yep.
You would have thought he was 5'7" with the way that he played, and that was a thing that that didn't bother me at the time. That bothers me a lot more now. Whereas you compare what, like a guy like Kyler Yamamoto, who is 5'8".
Yep.
And he's a pretty effective NHL player despite being both short and slight. And
he understands the way he has to play, though.
Exactly. And I do wonder, I mean, we have questions in the comment, how much is Mittelstadt struggling because of Buffalo We'll never know that answer.
Yep.
But you can't just automatically look at Buffalo and be like, well, there's your problem. No doubt it's part of the problem.
But also, it's not like Jack Eichel has been just fine there. So it's not like they kill everything.
Right. Well, Sam Reinhart was fine, too.
Was fine, too, yeah.
You know, yes, Mettelstad did fail to do a single pull-up in the draft combine testing. So did Sam Bennett.
Yep.
Like, for me, that's just not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
It's more of like a good headline than it is a meaningful piece of information. Like, okay, Casey Mettelstad failed to do a pull-up in the draft combine testing. What does that matter in terms of his struggles in the NHL so far?
Yeah, I love the guy picked two picks after Mettelstad in that draft too, and Owen Tippett. I loved him, and he still hasn't really found his footing in the NHL either. Which
that one feels like it's because of the team that he's on.
Because Florida is always stacked as hell for forwards, but
yeah, and they just keep adding to it. Like they just added Reinhart and Bennett to Huberdeau, Barkov. They've already got Carter Verhaeghe.
Yep.
Just had that huge breakout season there. Hornquist is there. I don't know, man. That's it. They feel. I don't know. They just keep going hard after forwards, and I'm like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, they
still. What does it say? What I want to know. What does it say? Like all we're getting is like these vague responses. An athlete that can't do a single pull-up does say something. What does it say? That he has no upper body strength? All right, well, as an 18-year-old, he's not going to play in the NHL right away. What does it say? I'm asking. I'm not trying to be a dick here. I just want to know, why is this meaningful?
It's a weird thing, too, right? Especially, like, if you're a bigger dude, it's going to be harder to lift your body weight, too. Like...
Well, and he was not a bigger dude. He was really slight, and he was going to college, which is when guys go off to college, the one thing that we always say is
they put on the muscle. Yeah,
they're going into a proper strength and conditioning program where they're going to lift weights 5 days a week.
Yep,
they're going to be able to put on that kind of weight, and I wonder if he can do a pull up now. You know, I didn't even notice, but 22 points in 41 games this year is actually not too bad of a year for him.
Pretty solid.
I haven't looked at any of his underlying numbers. I haven't really thought about him much at all, but he was a guy that I had high expectations for. From I guess it's 2017, which was supposed to be a bad class and has ended up having multiple franchise players. The guy that I think I'm most surprised is not better is Morgan Frost.
Yeah, that dude was a monster over at Sioux. Like,
yeah, he was insane.
Yeah,
in the OHL.
Yep. Multiple
and
in the OHL.
Yeah, and like, and I this is again my question. Me wondering more of, is this the team that he's on? Because the Flyers have been pretty deep at forward.
Yep.
You know, they've had a lot of veterans up front and haven't really found a good way to mix younger guys in. Look, Gabe, just statistically, can't say that I've watched him in the AHL at all, but 29 points in 41 games for him in the AHL, like Morgan Frost he wasn't hurting.
Pretty solid.
But he only got two games with the Flyers last year. Like, I don't know if he's had injury issues. I don't know. I just don't know what's been going on with him. But he was a guy that I've been very, like, I keep waiting for him to have, like, to look up and see him at 55 points in 60 games in the NHL, and just hasn't happened.
My love for players that end up in Florida continues. In the second round, I loved Heppo Niemi as well.
Oh, I didn't. I did not.
He was like so fun. I really liked. I didn't like Steenbergen though. Like
he was like in the WHL. He was a lot of fun, but it was all very perimeter oriented.
Yeah, he's definitely a pass first type of guy, but
yeah, second round guy that I really did from that. I loved Ian Mitchell, man. When he went to Chicago, I was like, no, I like that guy. Yeah. Morgan Geeky. Big Morgan Geeky fan. That's another dude. Still trying to see what he's got. Oh, I really liked Ivan Lodnia when Minnesota took him. Yeah. He was a guy that I was a big fan of. Now he's in the KHL.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
All right. You get to like 2018 and you're starting to drift into too soon.
Yeah.
But I still am a big Joe Valeno fan.
Yeah, my love of Joe Valeno was about his skating.
Yeah.
I just loved his skating, but I didn't think my concern with Joe Valeno was that he wasn't going to be able to score goals in pro hockey. I didn't think he had a good enough shot to beat goaltenders.
Remains to be seen.
He hasn't played very much in pro hockey, so we'll see. Like him playing for in Sweden last year, he was productive.
Yep.
But I didn't see any of it, so I don't know. We'll see with Joe Valeno. I was definitely mad that the Avs passed on him for Martin Kaut. I was the guys that I really liked that the Avs passed on for Martin Kaut were Ty Smith and Keandre Miller.
Yeah, I knew you'd love Keandre.
I was very vocal about my Keandre Miller love. I was like, look, dude, he hasn't been playing hockey for very long. He's a phenomenal athlete. He's 6'5" and he's a great skater and he's thick and he likes to hit people. What the hell is the problem here? Like, what's going on? What's the issue? What is with this? And the teams were, and I talked to people around the Avs after the draft and they were not super high on Miller. And I was like, fucking why? So, yeah. Sam Steele, I agree. I actually was a big Sam Steele fan. I liked Haskinen more than I liked Makar until I sat down and spent an entire week watching AJHL games.
Makar just skating like a monster.
I watched 35 Brooks Bandits games that year, and I was like, you got to take him. You got to take him.
Oh, there's another one. Yeah, in 2018, I think both of us really did not like Joel Farabee, and he has worked out very, very well for Philadelphia.
I was so out on Joel Farabee.
Yep. I didn't like him either.
Yeah. The guy that I loved in that class was Noah Dobson.
Yeah.
So when the Islanders got him, I was like, yes! I couldn't believe Arizona passed on Quinn Hughes, Adam Boakvist, Evan Bouchard, and Noah Dobson. I couldn't.
That pick was nuts. The second it was made,
yeah. I thought that was the easiest freaking mock draft pick of the entire mock draft. Was one of those defensemen is going to Arizona. They needed a defenseman. There weren't any really, really, really good forward options at that point. I was so blown away when they took Barrett Hayden. It happened, and I was in Dallas on the draft floor sitting next to Ryan Clark, who I just met 15 minutes earlier, and I was like in shambles because of that pick.
Yeah. And
unbelievable.
Not worked out for Arizona too well either.
The other guy that I really, really did not like, Dominic Bach. I was so nervous Colorado was going to go for that skill level and that they were going to love him. And I didn't like anything about Dominic Bach.
Yep. Well, he still hasn't played an NHL game. So
slower path. I thought St. Louis was smart to cash out on him.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, yeah, after that, it gets too hard to really judge. 2019 and onward, you still have dudes developing outside of the NHL there. So it's, there are plenty of dudes we love from those drafts, but it's a little bit too soon. So
yeah,
AJ does have to get out of here as well. He's got to go, go do TDSP. So make sure you go as well. anyway, yeah, we appreciate all y'all hanging out with us, looking at some of our hits and misses over the last, for AJ, I guess the last decade or so, really. Yeah, hope y'all enjoyed. We'll be back on Monday. I don't know what we'll talk about. Probably go around the league, because I know a lot of y'all wanted to do some of that. But yeah, we'll talk to you all then. Until then, have a great rest of y'all's weekend.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.